Day on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Now, let's have a look at this crisis at the supermarkets, and that's in fruit and veg. Everyone seems to be talking about it. The $12 lettuce seemed to be top of the list of people's disgust. Also, not far behind was their shock when they heard that some lines had been... Well, some outlets were now putting two heads of lettuce in instead of one to make up for what they couldn't put in, and fundamentally they were half-grown lettuce. But when you're paying $12 for one lettuce, of course, people will do anything to get their hands on something at a lesser price. It does say here, consumers, farmers and businesses are losing out in the far north. It's the price of berries and capsicum and cucumbers have gone through the roof. Lara Wild is the chief executive of Mood Manufacturing Hub and FNQ Incubator. Now, Lara said she had noticed the rising costs of produce affecting local businesses with a knock-on effect to or for consumers. Now, this is what she said. Capsicums. I don't know how many people are going to go into a spiralling depression over not having access to a capsicum, but anyway, they're through the roof. Tomato pulp is very hard to source. Businesses were forced to pay for surging costs out of their own pockets. As Ms. Wild said, the price of long shelf life products couldn't be adjusted for everyday price changes. Now, Lara went on to say, consequently, business said, substituted ingredients to opt for cheaper produce. Farmers grappled with meeting very narrow supermarket standards. As Ms. Wild noted, bruised and misshaped produce would be rejected by retailers and thrown out by farmers. Now, I've actually got Lara on the line to step us through this. Please listen closely. If you're struggling with your budget because of the soaring price of fruit and veg. Now, she's Chief Executive, Food Manufacturing Hub and FNQ Incubator. Hello, Lara.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Everybody is queuing up to listen to your advice because they're struggling. Firstly, can we go to the lettuce? Now, the lettuce were issued, they were iceberg lettuce, $11 to $12 a head. Then some smarty said, oh, let's just put two in instead of one, even if they're only half grown, and that'll work. And I don't think people were put out by it, but they were saying, I've never seen anything as desperate as this for fresh food producers. So having the two heads in the one plastic container or plastic bag has really surprised people. Talk to me about that, Lara. When you first heard two heads instead of one, what were your thoughts?
Well, what I have been doing, and to put this in perspective, I've lived in really remote Aboriginal communities in Australia where a head of lettuce has always looked like it was $12. So two heads was a bargain. But if you start looking at, you know, your pre-packed bags of salad that you can get?
Yeah.
Those guys are on contract, so they don't change. It's a value-add manufactured product, but it's still a fresh product. But because they have a contract that they must fulfill, they don't get to put their price up to meet whatever the market's demanding this week.
Okay.
So if you're looking to save money and you don't want to buy a whole lettuce, that's the best way to do it. Go and grab one of those pre-packed bags, and they're nice and fresh still, and they've got great variety. And that's another way of getting around it. But this idea of putting two in and giving it for the price of one, which is really the price of four on a normal year, it's a bit of a false economy.
Isn't this interesting, though, this, what would you call it, price tainting? You can avoid the price tainting by buying those pre-packed salads. See, a lot of people wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah, no, it's been interesting to see what... So as a primary producer, as a grower, some of them say, well, we'll just see what the market's doing on the day, and if I've got lettuces and everyone else got flooded out, yeah. While others said, you know, I'm going to be able to do a budget and know what's happening, so they lock into a contract. A lot of our dairy farmers do the same thing, where they lock into a contract long-term and they say, I will produce this much this year and for that price. And so when things like this happen, they don't necessarily get to change their prices in the instant to suit it.
Interesting you just used that term, flooded out. Is this the main enemy as far as these prices are concerned, the fact that we saw those widespread floods, particularly southern Queensland, northern New South Wales?
Yeah, so my understanding is the Lockyer Valley, which is Gatton, that went underwater this year, produces the majority of our fresh fruit or fresh vegetables, our small crops, so our lettuces, our capsicums, our tomatoes, cucumbers and so on. In Queensland, definitely, if not Australia, it's a huge growing region. So a lot of those growers are the suppliers for your Woolworths and your Coles. And so when they had those floods this year, a lot of their crops were lost, and that's why we're seeing the increase in prices.
This is a very interesting insight indeed. Now, can I take you to this article? You're quoted extensively here in the Cairns Post today. Now, we're talking here about capsicums. Some people say, oh, when you go to the fruit and veg market, everything's gone except the capsicums, which is a reflection of their lack of popularity. Then I brought it up with someone in a supermarket the other day. I said, no, capsicums are as much in demand as everything else. They must have just had good supplies. What's the story on capsicums? Are they popular or not popular? Are they easy to access and weren't impacted by floods? Why is it that capsicum department's always full?
Well, they are, but we also import some in Australia. But so at the SNQ Food Incubator here in the Food Manufacturing Hub, our focus is on creating a zero food waste region where we value add to products, and we then, by value adding, we manufacture new products. If you want to make a really good tomato sauce or a really good chili sauce or a really good Worcestershire sauce, you need capsicum.
Oh.
So we're seeing that supply, and we're willing to take the bruised, the battered, the broken, not a problem at all. So it's another opportunity for those farmers to say, I didn't sell it as a perfect whole fruit, but they can come in here to the food incubator and we'll work with them on their recipe development and the food science.
Uh-huh.
Now, for some of our suppliers, they haven't been able to get the consistency of capsicum that they need to be able to make their sauces and their chutneys and so on. And so we've been working with them of, let's get creative. What else can we use? Does it have to be a red capsicum? Can it be a green capsicum? Things like that, to see what we can do with their recipes to assist them to continue in business.
I think this is interesting what you just touched on. This is fundamentally ugly fruit, misshaped produce, if you like, rejected by retailers, thrown out by farmers. Quote, it will cost farmers more to pick fruit than what they're getting paid. It comes back to us as consumers to be willing to accept a less than picture perfect avocado. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, so we have a grower that we work with. He makes an amazing Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah.
And he grows 600 different types of chili. I didn't even know there were 600 different types of chili. But that's his whole business, is growing chili.
Wow.
And he said this year, for what it would cost him to pay for people to come into the paddock and pick the chilies, he wouldn't be breaking even. So there was no point in picking them.
Yeah.
So by the time they've ploughed the paddock, planted it, fertilised, taken care of any pests, grown that product, they're investing. Imagine right now if you went to work and you said, I'm not actually going to get paid for another 6 to 9 months.
Mm.
They do that, and then they get to the other end and COVID hits and they can't get enough backpackers to pick it, or, you know, the freight and logistics and fuel prices means that it's not economical to be able to ship it to anywhere.
Yeah.
And these are the problems that farmers face. So we love to work with them on what can we do to take that produce that isn't perfect, because it might have got hail, it might have got sun damage, etc., and let's put it in bottles and make some beautiful sauce.
This is interesting, very interesting. Don't go away. The tip is, in the media last few days anyway, for all of you people out there suffering with the obscene cost of fresh produce, relief is on the way. The cavalry's on the way. End of August, everything should be back to normal. Do you believe that?
Yeah, look, I think that we have an amazing agricultural sector in Australia. It's the best in the world in my book. And so those farmers are out there and they're already planning around what they can do and how they can get government support around the advocacy and the policy to be able to make that happen. I have no doubt that we're going to turn around, but we also have really innovative farmers out there. And if we look at a local company, Skybury, for instance, they grow 60% of all of the papaya in Australia at the Skybury farms just near Cairns here.
No,
now,
really?
They throw out tons of papaya every week, which are just not perfect enough for the shelf.
Yeah.
So they came to us, and we work with them now to make this amazing range of Skybury jams and Skybury syrups with the papaya to value add, so it's not wasted and we all get to enjoy it.
You say they come to us. Where are you, Food Manufacturing Hub and FNQ Incubator? Where exactly are you?
We are right in the middle of Cairns. We're a block up from Cairns Central in Bunder Street.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're available 7 days a week. If anyone ever has an idea for any kind of product, whether it's a jam, a sauce, a chutney, it could be a protein powder, we would love to work with them. And it's interesting, like I said, I've worked in some really remote communities. And did you know the range of things that you can get in a can? You can get a whole chicken in a can. You can get a potato in a can. It's amazing what people can put as far as shelf life goes.
That's amazing.
And so we love working with people to go, if you love this so much, let's have it all year round.
a whole chicken in a can. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Can't imagine.
I have to say, though, potatoes in a can are the best way to have roast potatoes with your lamb.
Wow.
They're just perfect.
We'll have to do this again. This is fascinating. This is a real eye-opener. Oh, sorry, ear-opener. This has been really interesting, Lara. So we'll do it again. Thank you.
Thank you, John. I love to chat food anytime.
I love eating food anytime. That's Lara Wild. Now, Lara, wait for it, Chief Executive of Food Manufacturing Hub and FNQ Incubator, which you can find over there in Bunder Street. There you go. You learn something every day.